News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Dalton not feeling his best today. Sean in for Dalton at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Real quick, Cyber Monday, I saw a couple of things I didn't get to. May I?
Absolutely.
Remember, here's something we were talking about, these Cyber Monday tips. It's today. It's going on right now. Some of you very aware of that, and probably as you're listening, you're also shopping online, and it's a good idea to do it early. Also, don't get scammed. Remember, if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. Make sure you really trust the website before you give them your credit card info. I think that is a must. Where are you shopping? Do you trust them? And then, you know, because...
Yeah, let me do an addendum here, too.
Yeah.
You'll hover over when you get an email, and it purports to be whomever.
Yeah.
It's ABC Widget, you know, company, whatever. Hover over the email. Make sure, because I can make my email say something else. So make sure what the URL is that you're going to go to before you just head there.
Next thing right there. Also, be careful about the bogus shipping updates that have been really widespread this year. That's when you get a text or email that looks like it's from UPS,
uh-huh,
or it looks like it's from FedEx, with a link they want you to click. If the link looks a little suspicious, don't go there. Don't click it and just be. Don't get so anxious that you're reckless, I guess, because the scammers are out there. They're trying to get you.
I say this for all things online, whether they're news stories or scam emails or whatever. You know, we are, as a republic, somebody is innocent till proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
In Napoleonic code, you're guilty till proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Treat the internet with the Napoleonic code.
Yep.
Assume everything is guilty until you can prove it innocent.
That's probably a very good practice right there. Okay, I know this to be true. This is not fake news. The Pharaohs opt out on Mardi Gras. It was announced Friday that the Pharaohs Mystic Society, they canceled both its parade and its ball for the upcoming Mardi Gras season. This is from our friends at WALA. And the statement below reads, good afternoon to all our wonderful Pharaoh family and friends. I hope that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. The following information will serve as a public notice to all regarding our upcoming annual parade and ball scheduled for Saturday, January 30th, 2021. And it goes on to say, nope, not going to do it, not this year. And so they're just one of the growing number of societies that have opted out. And I guess at this point, Sean, it looks to me like the city and even the health department, they're not rushing in to say, we're going to do this, we're not going to do that. It looks like they're allowing the societies themselves to call their own shots.
Yeah, well, let's look at the elements here. You just named them. Okay, so in this decision, you have the city that issues parade permits, has Mobile Police Department that goes and does the enforcement. You know, they got the guardrails, all that. So there's a city. The city has infrastructure and public safety that goes on with Mardi Gras.
And being in those parades for years, I've got to tell you, they got it down.
They get it.
They get it. And every now and then, you'll do a parade in a municipality, and they're like, This is minor leagues right here.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
But anyway, hats off to the city.
Yeah, so the city is, there's one element. Another one is, I'll say in this element, Mobile County Health Department, in addition to the Alabama Department of Public Health, okay? So you've got the state making its dictate on what safer apart amended order is. Then you have the interpretation from Mobile County Health Department. All right, so there's one, another group. And the third is the crews. On this, and we've seen, a lot of crews say they're not doing their, you know, Pharaohs is on a list of, I think, four or five, maybe six.
At least
that have said that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so there's the different groups here, and I want to get into, you know, one of the things I'm watching is when you hit Friday night, when you hit Crew of Columbus on through Fat Tuesday, those crews, that's what everybody's watching too. They all want the other one to make the decision,
mm-hmm,
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think the city and the health department would like the crews to decide not to parade because then they don't have to stop them from parading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the crews and the health department would like the city to make the decision. So it's not us,
yeah,
it's the city.
Yeah.
I think the health department, you know, the crews and the city would like the health department, you know, if they make the decision, it's not on them. So out of these three entities that could have some, they're all three legs of this stool, would like the other one to be the one to say, we're out, so you can wash your hands of it. You know, because I think there's still crews that want to parade with so many uncertainties still, whether it's going to happen, and the commitment these crews have to make in money to set things up in this plan, you know, to have that rug pulled out from you just a little bit before, you know, Mardi Gras would be really tough. So they're worried about that. The city's worried about the implications, obviously, for the businesses in the city and the tax base in the city, you know, and the health department wants the city to do it because the health department says the city's in charge of parade permits and part of all this. We're just in charge of the, you know, the medical side.
Why put it on us, right? So I think that, don't you think that naturally, kind of organically, that the as it's happening right now, one by one, it will come down to the societies and the groups themselves.
Yeah, but what happens when two decide, now we're still doing it?
Yeah.
Or what about the things on...
I think at that point...
And by the way, people say Mardi Gras, you can't cancel Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is based on the church, and it's based on Ash Wednesday. You can't cancel Mardi Gras. What you can is you can cancel parades, you can cancel balls, you can those things. But people keep saying we're going to cancel Mardi Gras. The outward expression of Mardi Gras can be canceled, but not. I mean, it's Mardi Gras is not going to be canceled because Ash Wednesday is not going
to
be canceled.
Did you have a conversation with somebody last week while I was gone who was saying, "Hey, man, all you got to do is move it to June."
Yeah, they're saying move it to the summertime, and I said,
"No."
I said, "You're not going to move it to the summertime because Fat Tuesday exists because of Ash Wednesday. It's because of the church. It's not, even though people see it, Mardi Gras has become so secular, for sure. But it's, you know, its base is in the church. So if you didn't, if you had, nobody'd show up, and it just is not right. I mean, moving parades, they're saying like move them to the summertime or whatever. No, I disagree with that. I think if we have to cancel parades and we have to cancel balls and those things, then that's something we can look at. But saying that you're going to move it to another time, no, it's specifically there because of the time of your, because of Ash Wednesday, and you back time out of that. And to try to say you can just move it like it's whatever national chocolate chip cookie day, it's not that you can't do that.
Close your eyes and imagine Mardi Gras in June. That would be crazy. Well, it would be, I mean,
but it just wouldn't make
it.
It's not just it would be. It just makes no sense because of why it's there. I mean, it's there because of Ash Wednesday. We start pushing past this in society, and everything doesn't have its roots in why it happens. I know that there's a lot of people who go celebrate Mardi Gras not because they're trying to get it out of their system before they're committing to, you know, the fast of Lent, but that's why it's there. That's why it's there. So I would say that December 11th is a day we're looking at here, because December 11th, the state would give us another update on the order, Safer at Home amended order.
Mask order
So that comes from ADPH and the governor. And then we'll have a reaction from the Mobile County Health Department, which says as of the way they see it, as of the current status, you couldn't have it. Okay, I don't believe with, what did Fauci say, surge upon surge? And all that. I want Mardi Gras to happen, but do I believe sitting here that by February, in the deep of winter, that this situation is going to be better?
No.
I don't.
So we're waiting. The clock is ticking on two things, Mardi Gras, and oh, by the way, who's the president?
Yeah, there's that too. Which one do we figure out first?
8:15, FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan. More conversation, your phone calls coming up. All right, let's get to it. 8:21, FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Sean. Dalton may be back tomorrow. We've hashed out there was no football on Thanksgiving, no football in the yard. On Thanksgiving?
No.
Football in the yard is almost always better than the Detroit Lions game.
Very much so.
We have to watch.
Yeah, we play outside, not in the dome.
Ford
finally
Field.
Matriculated to being full-time QB, and that didn't happen. That was a big disappointment, but I'm going to soldier through. Just one of the changes in 2020.
2020, right?
And by the way, it was nothing to do. We had normal Thanksgiving. It wasn't any kind of coronavirus thing. It was just... It didn't happen, and I really don't know why. I need to go back.
One brought it to the attention.
To go back and do a debriefing with my nephews and see why it didn't happen. But.
So you had enough bodies to have the game.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But they were, I took some pictures here where all the children were on their phones at one time, And maybe it's, you know, maybe it's social media that took him away from the backyard football game. And if so, then I got my issues with that. Which, by the way, side note, Social Dilemma. Have you seen that documentary on Netflix?
Yes, I have.
That's something, y'all. Y'all need to watch that. That's on my recommend list. And speaking of list, too, can I take just
Please.
A second of your show time here?
Sure, absolutely.
So Locals Only Christmas is in full gear here as we head towards Christmas. This is something I've been doing for years and years and years, but it's bigger than ever before. So Locals Only Christmas is where I get local artisans. And when I say local, listen, this is I get to make the decisions. So what is local? Sometimes it's the entire state of Alabama. Sometimes it goes into southeast Mississippi or northwest Florida. But there are items that you can give as gifts for Christmas that are artisans. And it could be food. It can be art. It could be experiences. I got a lot of, you know, guides and trips in this. Things that are like really cool Christmas gifts that you're not going to see on Cyber Monday here. They're not going to be pushing it at a big box store, but they're really great local gifts. Number one, the people that make them are around here, and the venues you can purchase these gifts from are around here. And then when you give that gift, you're like, you have the only one of those under the tree for somebody.
That's really cool.
And so this is something, these are people often that, even though when people send me the information, like, thank you over the weekend, I got a couple more recommendations. Sometimes these people have websites, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have a Facebook page, sometimes they don't. You know, it's been some of the gifts in the past, I was like, you just got to call there and ask for Jimmy. You know, and these are
it's
people
about as homespun as it gets.
Yes, and it is like that, and it's great because I have my list of people on there, but every year I have people go, hey, have you ever seen so and so? They make this or that, and they send me information about it. I add that to the list. It's great when they have a website and pictures and all that, and we'll be putting those up on our Facebook page and on the website as we go forward, and how to contact those people by the gifts. But sometimes in the past, it has been as down home as you just got to call. His wife's going to answer. Ask for him. Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the gifts and the things people make are really cool stuff. And you get the oh wow when they're under the Christmas tree. So,
very unique.
Locals Only Christmas. Big thank you to our sponsors for making this possible.
How do you roll that out?
And Cash Saver. Huh?
How do you roll that out? How do you get these?
Just at onesie twosies. Okay. I just talk. So in the past, this is something I've just done.
Mm-hmm.
Like just because I do stuff. I don't know. I've just done. But now we gotten all with Leanna and her expertise, which, by the way, the post up on our Facebook page from Leanna about the end of hurricane season, the celebration there. But Leanna, now that we have some people with some artistic ability here, will put it all in a pretty package so we can see it. No, it's, I mean, you see in my office, I start this on a legal pad every year. It's just written on a legal pad, and then we transfer it online and do it like that, and we roll it out. And so I would say within another, probably a week from today, will be the first of the posted list, and you can go on and shop through like that. So this isn't Cyber Monday. It's not. It's locals Christmas.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
So what's the list going to look like? How deep will the list be
I'm a couple dozen right now.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Already.
And one thing that
you got repeaters?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. People come back on every year. But I need help too because I'm typecast. There's certain things I'm interested in that I find out about. You know, usually I'm very heavy on books, local writers. I'm heavy on experiences, people that do guide trips for all kind of things that take people to show them, you know, whether it's the stuff in the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people make cool stuff for outside. I'm kind of typecast. I like outside stuff. So
yes.
It's always a help when people bring me things that wouldn't be part of my bailiwick, right?
I love it.
And so that helps expand this list because when this list started off, it was all kind of like stuff I'd like people to buy for me. So I've had to expand it.
It was slightly disguised Stuff I Want by Sean Sullivan, right?
Yes, that's basically what it was.
Okay. So thank you again to Patty Allegri Farms. Very nice, more or less a gift basket.
Each year. Yeah.
And she sent me a dropped off at 8:45 the other day, and she knew I had that long drive to Virginia Beach, and gave me just all kinds of goodies to get me there, fruits and even some cookies and stuff like that. It was absolutely great. So remember that name and remember that store for sure. Also, when I got to Virginia Beach, here had a great time with Zach, two of his comrades, my wife Kim.
That's your stepson, Zach.
Stepson, yep, who lives in Virginia Beach. And
he's in service to our nation. And he lives in Virginia Beach.
Right.
Enough said.
Yes, you could probably break it down.
Yeah.
So he was gone earlier this year, so it was like, pandemic, whatever, I got to go see Zach. And so I did. And here was the problem with Charlie Brennan, the new Boykin Spaniel in the family, who was up there to meet Boone, mm-hmm. who's a 135-pound Swiss Mountain Dog. In any event, when you are playing cornhole, you know where I'm going, right?
Yes.
When you're playing cornhole with a puppy, that he's not supposed to be playing cornhole. He's supposed to be doing something in the yard.
He's been line bred for a long time to go.
He's playing things. Cornhole.
He picks those things up and brings them back.
And so it was one after another, and it was one of those things where it was cute at first, but it wasn't cute the whole way through. 828 at FM Talk 106.5. We're getting some texts on the text line, including, I like this, unnamed texter talking about summertime Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
Moon pies become moon puddles. I think that's what I'm saying. Like, can you just imagine Mardi Gras in June? It would be so hot. I mean, even at the nighttime parades.
Yeah, but, okay, so...
I mean, I'm not saying let's do it. I'm saying
I'm such a stick in the mud that my issue with it is not that it would be hot. And mm-hmm. yeah, people talk about sweating in the costumes. Oh my goodness, yeah. But I want to stay. The reason why this is when they talked about moving. They wanted to move the date for Halloween, I think, and move the date for other holidays. I lose my. They're there. Halloween is there because it's the eve before the Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
All Souls Day mm-hmm. is the next day. That's why Halloween is the eve of it. Fat Tuesday is there because of Ash Wednesday. It's there for a specific reason. This kind of secularizing and just moving it to wherever, like you're moving, you know, some National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, that bothers me. That the heat, I mean, you're right in that, but idealistically, I don't want it moved because it's there for a reason.
It doesn't belong anywhere else.
That's right.
Ash Wednesday.
That's kind of how...
Fat Tuesday to Ash Wednesday and all that.
Like, if there wasn't... If you weren't working towards an Ash Wednesday, why would you have a Fat Tuesday?
Huh? Working toward Flag Day.
Yeah, there you go.
June 7th.
Arbor Day.
FM Talk 106.5, 8:30. Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan at 8:36. On your Monday, much cooler Monday, and I mean really cold Monday and Tuesday night, by the way, so get ready for that. Right now, let's check in with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. He's on the lot there right now. Louis, good morning, and what's going on?
Good morning. It's cold weather. It's hunting time, baby, hunting time.
It is?
We got the Z71 truck sitting here. Anybody needs something for hunt season, we got them. Last day of the month, the best time to buy a car. Don't forget, we got $6,000 in rebates on pickup trucks. We got 0% for 84 months on a few GMCs and Buicks. Got some great deals on GM certified. You can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions, if you see anything online, give Gene or I a call at 251-476-4141. And it's going to be a beautiful day today. We're going to be here all day, and I might not be here all day tomorrow, but I'll be here all day today, so give us a call if you need anything.
Why aren't you going to be there tomorrow, Louie? What's going on?
It's the weather's going to be perfect.
Ah, I got you.
Sean.
I got you.
Time.
We
got to get our priorities straight.
I should have read between the lines there a little bit. Yeah, that was easy. last day of the month, so good. Again, it's a really good time to shop, right?
That's right. We've got great deals going on. Like I said, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or come on by and say hi to us.
FM Talk 106.5 with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive and Dolphin and I-65 and McConnellAutomotive.com. And Louis, we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And let's look through the text line here. We'll take some calls, too, at 343-0106. Derek, I don't know the answer to that. I should have before I started using that as a foil. When is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day? We can Google that quickly and find out. Darren, I don't know. I should have known before I used it as a foil in my argument.
Took you literally there with the chocolate
no,
chip
Darren
cookie day.
No, Darren's not literally. He's just messing with me, which I appreciate and like. Scotty says, hey, guys, there's a lot you're not hearing regarding Mardi Gras, like no marching bands. Civic Center prices are going up, but they can't say how much. But they can say how much the city is going to ask the organizations. how they intend to prevent crowds. Speaking of the unprofitable Civic Center, what happens if it doesn't have the income Mardi Gras brings? Mm. That's a big deal, Scotty. And I'll say this. I may or may not know that there's pressure on the parading groups to make that decision.
Okay.
Like I said at the beginning of the discussion, I think you have, if you look at the entities of the city of Mobile, you have Mobile County Health Department, ADPH, in one, and then the crews in another. They're all hoping, well, I think they all hope that the vaccine would work and everything would be fine and Mardi Gras would go off just like before. That's what I want to have happen. I with what I see right now, I don't believe that is going to happen. So
the quickly enough.
I don't think so.
No, either
so
do
all
I.
These entities would like the other, one of the other two entities out of the three to make some decision so it's not on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is happening. Thank you, David. August 4th is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Thank you.
Just depend on the text line to get us the answers right there.
See, our man Grant said you would see more a breast than a mammogram facility if it was summertime for Mardi Gras. That's only in New Orleans, Grant. It's a rare thing around here.
He's looking at the sunny side of this thing, isn't he?
Some people on my side here on this. I'm not, once again, this doesn't mean I don't want there to be Mardi Gras. I just don't see how right now it's going to happen. Now, Haywood said, in regard to Mardi Gras in the schools, et cetera, when will the voice of the people return to the decision-making process? Legislature and city councils, school boards, et cetera, have been absent this year. True. I think one of the keys here, we've talked about it many times on this station, but it doesn't look like we're going to get a special session, but the liability, a couple things they have to get to real quickly, and it's frustrating because they had a liability bill ready to go in the and they had agreement. How about this? They had trial attorneys agreeing with business folks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had gotten both groups involved in this on liability protection because there's a lot of CYA and there's a lot of protection going on where people don't want to have an event and then have somebody come back, lawyer up and say, I got coronavirus because I went to this thing. Now, I don't believe that will ever win in trial because how can you prove you got it there and you didn't get it touching the handle of your car, getting it.
But a small business owner does not want to be tied
doesn't
up
want to be risk,
legal fees.
Legal fees and
right.
time and all that. Well, they put together that liability protection bill. They shut down. They didn't go back for a special session in Montgomery. Other states have taken the verbiage of what was put together here in Alabama and put it through. They've got nothing done on liability in Washington, and they haven't here. That's one. I think that, y'all, is a keystone to a lot of this, where if you had liability protection, in other words, you could have the event, but you wouldn't even have to face a lawsuit. And once again, when they put that liability protection bill through, it's not overwhelmingly to one or the other. In other words, it doesn't serve the trial attorneys and it doesn't serve business. In other words, it's where it probably should be. If you do something completely flagrant and like don't do any kind of precautions,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't protect you from liability. But if somebody walks in and says, hey, I got coronavirus because I went to whatever the thing is, it does protect you. And they still hadn't been allowed to have special session to get that done. So that is a key to this. And I would argue there, not argue, but just to Haywood here, that return of decision-making still would be influenced by the risk of liability out there. While you have all the people that would like to come to Mardi Gras, you have to have certain entities, the health department, city, and the crews, be afforded protection of liability.
Right.
In doing that. And if you have the state saying, hey, we can't shut down, because Mobile County Health Department says, under the orders as stands, you can't have these events, but the city's in charge of issuing parade
mm-hmm.
permits. So you want to be the person that bucks what the department says, and then somebody comes in with a lawsuit and says, hey, they flagrantly put this on, even though, you know, that's what's going on, y'all.
I think somebody's going to have to make a decision here at some point. I think it's going to happen pretty organically, to be honest with you. Now, I'm not in an organization. I'm not born and bred in Mobile. I may not know every lever and gear involved in all this. But it's a pandemic, and it doesn't sound like a safe way to spend your time is with tens of thousands of people downtown watching a parade.
But I think that's what Haywood's talking about on the text line. If the liability protection was in there, then you make your choice.
Yes.
And that's what I like. I like liberty for everybody to have all the information,
mm-hmm.
and then you make your choice,
yeah.
whether you do it or not. Nobody's forcing you. I mean, Lisa says, since when is Mardi Gras the end-all and do-all for our city? Yeah, we'll have it if people want to choose to go there, but they're not going to do that when there's the pall of liability hanging over this. She goes on to say, if it's canceled for a year, move on, and let's concentrate on more important topics like Christmas and the New Year. I will say, for the economics of the city, Mardi Gras is a very big deal and for a lot of businesses. And cancellation, there is absolutely, we're going to talk about it going forward on the show with the history of Mardi Gras. There's absolutely precedent set. There was no Mardi Gras for the duration of World War II in our city. And I know other times as well, but that's one of the more recent ones that stands out to me,
mm-hmm.
that the cancellation during World War II.
See, that's back to history again.
Yes.
You were talking about that. People think history is everything from their high school years to now. That's not history. See, that's something I didn't even know about.
Chris asked what I thought about the 60-minute segment last night, the Clotilda 60-minute segment. Chris, I can't offer an opinion because I have yet to see it. I'm going to watch that today. Got delayed.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and I want to point out, too, that I don't know what time slot yet, but Ben Raines, very figurative, in The Finding of the Clotilda, is going to be one of my guests on Midday Mobile today. Talk more about that 60-minute piece.
Perfect. Very good timing. So an affirmation from Ben Raines in your list of texts. Will you be on the show today?
Yes, yes.
First one to reply.
Yes, I got a thumbs up. So
that's it. That'll be a great guest. 845 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. All right, that's the end of that. FM Talk 106.5. At 8:51 with Dan and Sean Sullivan. Soon we will hear the voice of Mr. Jeff Poor. Great show. You've got Pete Ream on today. You've got Jim Ziegler, state auditor. Dale Jackson, who is entertaining.
Live, local. Hey, man, the thing about it, you don't understand this.
He'll be fun. And Steve Langston, state senator, is going to be on as well on FM Talk 106.5. Okay, last night, 60 Minutes, real quick, just to give you an idea of mm-hmm. what you're going to see as I sit and try to reflect on it. Your guest today at noon was not quoted. Well, he no interview of him was part of the story.
Hmm.
Delgado,
mm-hmm.
who kind of flew in later, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a national figure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he seemed to be, how can, you know, I don't know. So Delgado was a bigger part of the story. And also the families who are descendants of Africatown, and many of them still live there, they were a big part of the story as well. So that's what you're going to see. I thought the story was really good. I thought it was obviously a very unique story, but I thought it was too short. I thought mm-hmm. the Trump firee was a longer story than Clotilda, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, whenever you have a story, I don't know that I've ever seen television take on a local story that I felt like, good, they gave it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It should have gotten. It's one of the things, let me toot the horn of talk radio. If you want nuance and discussions, do need a discussion of nuance in them, where we ride herd over that radio with pictures stuff.
We do. And
because
and
we can get into it. We have the time. We're not, you know, it's the attention span a little bit longer here than it is on TV.
Yeah, and I think also here, what I've always heard from especially you, is you like dealing with nuance because you know the nuance actually exists.
Yep.
Everything is not black and white. It rarely is. And so those discussions can be, some things you are cut and dry on. Other things, you take time to examine, and when you examine it, you realize that it's not going to be just one way or the other. There's a middle ground here.
Yeah, and there's detail is important, right? So if
yes.
you ask your buddy, how was your weekend, and nothing major happened, they said, that was good. And the other one said, that was good. That's fine. If something big happened, that was good is not an answer. It's, that was good. Listen, you wouldn't believe what happened.
Exactly.
So,
you know, exactly.
And here we go. And this was cool, and that was cool. And, oh, wow, does that remind you of the story of so-and-so? That's how human beings are. That's
yeah.
how we've been. that there's more to it than just a yes or no. Even though we're digital runs everything, human brains are still not zeros and ones. So
how about my human brain traveling from from Virginia Beach to Mobile on Iron Bowl Saturday? I got up really early to get here. And really, the one thing I can remember about that ride, 13 hours in all, is that that countdown show sucked. It was bad. The music was
bad. You missed it this morning, so Dan was... I didn't even know they did music countdown shows anymore, but you
said... It's not Casey, but it's there.
You were waiting for this. They had been teasing this hot, number 8 song in the country or something like that?
Yeah.
And it was just miserable?
It was terrible, and it was the people they were interviewing, teasing you along, like, hey, we got this band. Oh, wow. And they've been quarantined for a while, but now they're back on social media.
Thank goodness.
Exactly.
So I've been living without it.
But they were talking about, when they jumped back on social media in September, about how everybody went crazy. I'm like, I didn't go crazy.
Yeah, I didn't even know y'all existed.
Until today.
And I want to add something, too, that speaking a little more discussion on items, I think I mentioned it, but maybe I didn't look at some of the text here, that the reason there's no special session is the governor has not called a special session. There's many legislators. Now, that's influenced because there's in the House, there's a contingent in the House that is, the Senate seems ready to go. The House may be dragging their feet, but it's the governor can call the special session and could call it specifically for this liability legislation, could call it for Alabamians not having to pay state tax on the money they received from the CARES Act. All these things could be done, and the governor can define the special session. She can say, this is what y'all are going to work on. This is the extent of it, but it hadn't happened.
The House, don't we have concerns about coronavirus with the House?
Because yeah, have you?
A little more cramped? People on top of people.
Yeah, but what about, they've talked about getting other facilities in Montgomery and the RSA buildings and spreading people out and doing all this stuff, but they're not working very hard. If they wanted to get it done, if the governor wanted it to happen, it would have happened.
Can we get to Dave on the line right now? Dave is in Baldwin County. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
As difficult as it is to sidetrack you and get you off on a rabbit trail... How do we have Sullivan and Brennan together and no discussion of St. Patrick's Day? Oh.
Yes. Say that again, if you would.
How do we have a Sullivan and a Brennan together with no discussion of St. Patrick's Day?
We'll get around to that for sure.
Basically, when the two of us are together, it's light St. Patrick's Day as it is. But, that was a thing last year. Remember that? The hubbub over St. Patrick's Day in certain places in town having the celebration, others not.
I do,
and the mayor talking about shutting it down.
The Callahan's in particular, who got the big almost street party, and they went ahead with it.
Or there's two pictures of me in Callahan's.
They went ahead with it on that Saturday and decided on the 17th itself that they weren't going to do it. But on that Saturday, it appeared
Dave,
to
I don't
be
know. I don't,
bad
I,
idea.
We'll be at that one next, and what will, under the orders as we understand them from the Mobile County Health Department, that would be a violation.
Yep.
So,
but that's going to be in March. And is March, we don't know. But is March, where are we thinking we're all going to go, whew, could it be March?
May, June. I don't know, because I still, once again, I'm happy about President's Operation Warp Speed. I'm happy about the move on the vaccine.
Yeah.
I think it's such an amazing thing. I just worry that people won't line up and take it. A lot of people will. It's not that people won't, but I think we have to be at 60 or 70% taking the vaccine for herd immunity, and I just don't know we see that in the first year. I hope so. I pray that we get past this, but I worry about people will go, I got to be frank with you. I look at it and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'll be, number one, I won't be in the first wave, which, by the way, last week, conversation with Dr. Wendy Murphy, she thought around the 14th or 15th, Alabama would get the first shipment of vaccines. Maybe 100,000, 110,000, if it's off the top of my head, doses would be here, distributed to frontline healthcare workers, first responders, and the elderly folks that need it most. That would be the first wave of it that would get it. I'm just thinking down the road when it becomes somewhat pedestrian, in other words, it's out there for everybody, I will everybody line up for it, or will you sit back and wait to see if other people, until I think what's going to, the herd immunity will be when people in your family or friend group have taken it and they do just fine, then you'll be like, okay, I'll take it.
Here I am. I will be at CVS in the middle of the night waiting on that truck with a stethoscope. waiting around as a doctor. I am going to cut in line to get it. That's me.
All right, good. And then I'll watch you closely.
Yes. Take my temperature when I come in every day. FM Talk 106.5 Jet 4 on the way next. Mobile Mornings with you again tomorrow starting at 6.